This is Taking Care in Business, a podcast that dives into the topic of corporate social responsibility from many different perspectives. Host Kathy Pedrotti-Hayes is an expert in CSR and philanthropic giving, and her co-host, Vicki Bolson, is the founder and CEO of Bolson Group, a unified marketing company that was also the first B Corp certified company in Indiana. Kathy and Vicki became friends and equally passionate about CSR when they first worked together several years ago. Join them as they talk about why it is always worthwhile to take care in business.
Hey, Kathy.
Hey, how are you?
I am good. I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
Okay, would you agree that it's hard to say which conundrum unleashes others? Poverty, family disruption, community violence, criminal conduct, educational failure, or social unrest?
Yes, my goodness.
Yeah, well, I agree. And as with all really tough problems, there's no one answer. But I think we'd agree that education is one of the proven remedies that needs to be applied, right?
Absolutely.
Well, the first Cristo Rey High School was begun in Chicago in 1996. And I pulled some stats from the Huffington Post article from about 6 months ago. And I'm anxious to ask our guest today if they're current or not. But according to this article, there are now 9,100 Cristo Rey students in 28 schools, and 96% are of youth with color, with a little over half being Hispanic and one-third African-American. And today, like I said, we have Dr. Marjorie Crooks, president of Indianapolis's Providence Cristo Rey High School, along with the vice principal of Mission and Culture, Fred Yakey, joining us. And just to go back and give a little bit of info to our listeners, Providence Cristo Rey High School is a private Roman Catholic high school in Indianapolis, opened in 2007 as a part of this Cristo Rey network. And it is located in the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Indianapolis and is sponsored by the Sisters of Providence of St. Mary of the Woods. I recently visited the school. I think I told you about it. And I was really impressed and quite frankly kind of blown away from some of the things that they're doing. To sum it up, through a challenging college preparatory curriculum offered in a faith-based multicultural environment and the integration of work experience in a professional setting, motivated students strive to reach their highest potential and become faith-filled, socially responsible women and men who will take the lead in creating a more just society and a more hopeful future for themselves and others.
Wow.
I know. It's a great mission. And so with that, welcome Dr. Crooks and Fred.
Thank you. We're happy to be here.
Yeah. Well, can you give a little background? I know Vicki has been to the school. I have not. Can you talk a little bit about how the Cristo Rey started?
So, well, first, we do have an update on the number of schools. We now have 35 schools in our network. Three will be starting this fall, and we're serving 11,500 students, a little bit higher than that. But,
wow. That's a lot of growth in just 6 months, too.
It is. But there's a huge need for this kind of a model, and it's an amazing model because it not only benefits the students, it benefits the communities that the students live in. And so it was actually started as a means to be able to provide a private college prep experience for urban youth who otherwise would not be able to afford a private school education.
And your school started in 2007, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. How many students does Providence Cristo Rey have?
We have approximately 350 students right now.
Okay. And what is the breakout of the demographic of those students?
So we are currently, we're 93% color students. And 68% are Black, 23% are Hispanic, about 2% are multiracial, and then 7% are white.
Okay. Now, when I said that I came in and I took a tour and I was blown away, I can tell you specifically what I mean. first of all, I walked in and I was greeted by so many people. Everybody was so friendly. And also the students and watching them walk around and how they carried themselves, because I kind of witnessed all that for a little while, and the great relationships that I witnessed between the students and then the students and the staff. And then specifically, I was there to talk about becoming a company partner with your, do you call it a work study program?
Yes, work study, our corporate work study program.
Yes. And I saw all the logos all over the wall. And of course, there were some companies that I'm like, well, of course they're involved in the work study program. But then there were others that, you know, I had never heard of. And it's just such a great program. And Bolson Group is trying to figure out if we can fit into that partnership right now. Why don't you explain to our listeners what the program is and how it impacts not only the students, but those in the community?
Well, so for this model to work, it was set up so that we would have corporate partners who basically paid about a third of the students' tuition. But in addition to providing financial aid for the students, they're also providing real work experience for them, and they're exposing them to new horizons that they otherwise might not experience. And so what it does is it helps them to see why academics is so important by going and experience a corporate world, or finding out how work and academics works together. Then they see, oh, this is why I need to learn math, this is why I need to learn finance, and it just kind of clicks for them. But it also introduces them to something other than maybe a fast food or minimum wage kind of work experience, that yes, this really is a possibility for them. And so the corporate work experience serves a dual purpose. It serves to help provide the financial aid so that these urban youth can have a college and career preparatory experience, but then it provides them with an actual internship so they can decide now while they're in high school what kind of track they want. Do they want to study technology? Do they want to study finance instead of, you know, going to college and then maybe trying different things there? They're able to kind of figure that out and work through it now.
And every student, even the freshmen, do this, correct?
Correct. We actually have a contract with the United States Department of Labor, and so all of our students have to be at least 14 to be able to work, and then we have different jobs for them.
One of the things that Vicki mentioned, too, was that you really work with students to help them become socially responsible?
Yes, that's correct. So what we want them to do is not only are they getting the corporate work experience, but part of the faith-based piece is also that they do service hours. So freshmen, sophomore, junior, seniors also have to have that service component. So we talk constantly about the community supporting them, both by believing in them and giving them these internships, but also supporting them in helping to pay for their tuition. And so in turn, they need to learn to pay it forward and go out and do service for others as well.
And how do they determine where they can offer service hours? Is that something they come up with, you come up with, a combination of the two?
It's a combination of the two. We have a campus minister here, and so what they do is they will look around for service opportunities and post those monthly, and then the students know what's available. But they also might know of opportunities within their own neighborhoods or their own communities, churches, where they can do service opportunities, and then they let us know about what those are.
And I think it's important to talk about, you're an inner city school, but you don't serve just an inner city population.
Well, our goal is aimed at the urban youth, but we do draw from 42 different zip codes. So we're all over the Indianapolis, near Indianapolis, far east side, far west side. We go everywhere.
Yeah, I was talking with somebody about the bus routes, and just you know, you have extracurricular activities and just the organizing of that. And just some kids, you know, have to get picked up at 6 a.m. to make it to school, and then they do their after school activity and they get home at, you know, 8 at night or whatever. It's such a commitment to the school. So the outcomes of this education must just be incredible.
It is, but we also realize that the students are, and not only the students, but their parents or guardians are also making sacrifices for them. And so we try to build in success points throughout the day. So we have study time built in for them. We have opportunities for tutoring and other assistance that they might need because we want them to succeed.
What are some of the stats of the successes? For instance, how many students graduate and go on to college and things like that?
So we just had our graduation a week ago, and for that particular senior class, we had 56% of those students graduated with an honors diploma, over 80% acquired college credits while they were here, and then 100% had college acceptance.
Hey, I have a question for Fred.
Okay, good. He's here.
Okay.
Yes.
Hey, Fred. Hey, I have a question. I have never heard of a vice principal of mission and culture. Can you tell me a little bit about what you do?
Sure. So the vice principal of mission and culture essentially oversees the culture part, is overseeing the discipline team in terms of the dean and the behavior specialist, just offering the support from an administrative standpoint in creating a safe environment that not only supports the students as they interact, but also encourages the parents to be involved. The culture, another way to say that is just that the temperature of the school, making sure that the student activities, the parent clubs, families are represented. They're coming from different areas of community. They can be involved in the school. In terms of the mission is basically offering the support holistically of the teachings, not only that we offer here with our theology classes, but also making sure that our parents, that many are non-Catholic, about 40% of our students are non-Catholic, making sure that they are involved in the mission of the school, the history of the school, and the overall spiritual component. So essentially kind of serving as a bridge from the community to the school.
And so so I would imagine you're out and about quite a bit, right?
Yes, I am. I love the community. I love talking to our families. So it's a really unique position that I can go out and serve as a face to the school when I'm going to the doors of the homes or I'm visiting the communities where we're trying to advocate for our students to come to our school. So I'm often going out and kind of breaking that barrier that many of our families have when they understand that it's a Catholic entity. A lot of them aren't learned or they aren't understanding the principles, so I'm able to kind of explain to them in a layman's term what our school's mission is about. And once the families understand that that barrier is not a barrier, it's just misinformed information, that really opens up the door for a lot of our families to get inside of the school, visit the schools, and see what our school has to offer.
When I was there, there was a class in the church or the temple or whatever it's called, and I was told that every student meets in that room once a week, or is it once a day? But I was also too told that, you know, only, I think you just said it, less than half of the kids are actually Catholic.
I'm thinking you're talking about our chapel, that we have that's in the foyer. So that is correct. Every Friday our students meet there with our theology department, and they go into the chapel and they have classes there. So it's mandatory for every student that comes through Crystal Ray that they have theology classes every year, whether it's a freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior. So that kind of helps out with that process. Another thing that we do every morning when our students arrive to school, we have a morning assembly which essentially serves as a launching pad. And in this morning assembly, we go over the day-to-day routines, the announcements. We celebrate the students that maybe did great things, whether it was academically or whether it was sports. But another thing that we do, that we all come together and we all pray. We all pray. We have a school mission that we all articulate, and we all say the school mission. And then we celebrate where we launch it off the students to have a fabulous day. And what we found that in doing this, it helps us to come together collectively as a body of students, and we all are touching certain points so that way we can have a great day. And that kind of helps out with the overall feel of the day, because we all are saying the same mission. We all understanding that we're here also to learn of what the wonderful principles are of Crystal Ray.
Mm-hmm. I could see how that would start the day off right.
Yeah,
we do a morning meeting at our office, and it's kind of the same thing, you know, just to start the day and tackle what's ahead and make sure we're all on the same page. I'm going to ask you this question, and then if you can pass it back to Dr. Crooks to answer the question as well. But what I'm wondering is, if you were able to give advice to someone else who really wanted to create a socially responsible atmosphere, you know, you're in education, but just think big picture, what kind of advice would you give them?
That is a wonderful question. If I could answer that question in the simplest form that I probably could articulate, I would think that a person who is interested in creating an environment as such, they will have to really think of what they are put on the earth to be or to do. Mm-hmm. And if there was a word that comes to mind, it's transformational. I think anyone who wants to jump into the work of creating an environment as such that we're blessed to have, you have to think with the end goal in mind of how you want to get someone who maybe do not have the tools, but they have the capabilities of doing it, and what you can do to help transform that person or transform that mind. As I think of Christ and I think of the type of work we're doing, we are really doing perhaps one of the biggest ministries that is lacking is called discipleship. And we're discipling many of these students with the transformational message of love, of caring, and we're just using the vehicle of education. And I've seen so many lives transformed by something as small as exposure, putting these kids in an environment such as corporate work study where they'll probably never see, and them seeing themselves do the work, getting the education, qualifying them to go to college, and then when they graduate college, they have the confidence because they've already been there. So the type of advice I would give anyone is try to think of something transformational that they can do to help disciple this next generation.
Let's ask Dr. Crooks that same question.
Okay, thank you. I think Fred did a beautiful job of answering the question, but I'd also like to go back to your opening statement when you talked about education being a pretty surefire way to help transform things. And so to be socially responsible, I think the education piece has to be part of that. And so here at Crystal Ray, we really teach our students to be able to answer the question, why? Why am I here? Why am I going forth? Why am I trying to better myself? You know, and then other question words, so what do I do with this knowledge? How can I have an impact? And so, you know, constantly trying to answer that question of what education is supposed to do, why am I here, what is my role, and then letting them know that they do have a role. So for whatever the organization is, if you're trying to make it be socially responsible, you have to make it relevant to the people that you're imparting that responsibility to. And I think our students understand that. And they're not afraid to ask questions about why, what, where, when, how. And then when they go out into society, they can make that difference. And which is, you know, part of our mission statement that we want our students to strive to reach their highest potential and become, you know, faith-filled, socially responsible women and men who will take a lead in creating a more just society. We don't want them to just be part of the solution. We want to educate them so that they can be a lead and impact others in a positive way.
Perfect. Okay. Well, this was really great to hear a little bit more specifically about the Indianapolis Crystal Ray Network School. But if our listeners are wondering if there's one in their area, where can they go?
So there is a Crystal Ray website, and that is called crystalraynetwork.org. And there are different tabs available there that will tell them where the schools are throughout the country. And we go from the West Coast to the East Coast, from up in Minnesota down to Texas and Florida. So there's probably one near them.
Wonderful. Okay. And then your website, I was on there this morning, and I noticed that you're taking enrollment now.
Correct.
So if you would like to give that website as well.
So our website is CristoRayIndy.org. So that's CristoRayIndy.org. And, yes, we are accepting applications, and it's an amazing mission. It'll help urban students not only be prepared for college but prepared for future careers and to take their place in society.
Well, thank you so much for the time that you spent with us this morning, and we hope to see you around in the community soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. We appreciate you.
Yes, Fred. Let's give a big thank you to Matthew Sosi, our podcast engineer. You can visit the Taking Care in Business website at takingcareinbusiness.com.
Or just visit us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook at Taking Care in Biz. That's Taking Care in B-I-Z. If you have questions or comments, you can email us at any time at info@takingcareinbusiness.com.
Thank you for joining us today, and until next time, take care in business.